Good morning. So as Ed mentioned in introducing me, I serve at the Unitarian Universalist Association on the Side with Love organizing strategy team. And we like to practice what we call transparent facilitation when we're doing our trainings and organizing events. And I'm going to offer some transparent preaching in this moment. I'm a little tired. We've been working on some work in Minnesota. I don't know if you've heard. So I ask for grace while I offer imperfection. But when I came up with this sermon idea, I was looking at various things around my home office to figure out what on earth am I going to preach in this congregation in these times. And so I saw a little towel that my friend had embroidered for me that said, "The revolution will not be caramelized." And I said, "Great, we're gonna go with this." The reason she made that for me was because I have what is called, again, from my bio, the Sharia Law Anti-Islamophobia Baking Ministry. It didn't start out as a theological endeavor. It started out as a way to just feed my fellow seminarians when I was a student at Union Theological Seminary. If you've ever been a student in really any form of education, when finals time comes around, you're tired, you don't know what you're gonna eat, and you have no idea how you're gonna make it through the next 3 weeks. And so what I ended up doing was finding time to make a whole bunch of baked goods for my comrades in seminary and dropping them off in the middle of a common area and saying, "Eat. Let me sustain you. Let me nurture you." And then I started to get a little cheeky with it because it is something I want to do. And so I started to come up with some fun little names for them. And so I came up with the, what did I call them? The dhikr donut holes. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the concept of dhikr, it is this idea of, you might have heard of dhikr and the spinning and repeated spinning. And so this concept of repetition and constantly returning and turning and turning and repeating within the Islamic traditions as a way to enground yourselves in your faith. And so dhikr donut holes, so good, you can't eat just one. I came up with the tauba turnovers. Turnovers with tauba, the idea is the kind, it's a form of repentance when you are returning back to your inherently good, inherently capable of love self after causing harm or engaging in activities that you didn't realize were harmful. And so a tauba, turnover, turning back. So that went on and on and on just for fun. And then one of my friends said, "You know, you could actually do something with this." And so I said, "You're right, I could." And so it's become sort of a unofficial practice that I offer to communities of baking together these baked goods and having conversations around what our faith means to us, what these ideas of faith mean to us, whether it is something from the Islamic traditions or whether it's something from our Unitarian Universalist faith here today. So in my sermon description, I wanted to offer some of my hypotheses of some baked goods that could represent some Unitarian Universalist values. And I'd love to hear who here did the assignment and brought a recipe. I'm just curious. Great, I didn't either, so we're all good. All right. So, oatmeal raisin cookies representing pluralism. Who here likes oatmeal raisin cookies? Who here wishes that they would all burn? Okay, well, I like this congregation because I like oatmeal raisin cookies. However, I know that these are a very controversial cookie. There is a range of opinions. Some people see the oatmeal raisin cookie and thinks it looks like a chocolate chip cookie, take a bite, and they're disappointed. Some people take a bite knowing it's an oatmeal raisin cookie and are thrilled. So I suggest oatmeal raisin cookies represent pluralism because they bring together all of those values and all of those beliefs around cookies. I think the apple turnover or the turnover that represents tauba also represents justice in our faith. Justice is a way for us to repair the harms, to engage in that healing work that is so desperately needed in our faith, to return to that inherent good, to that inherent possibility that lives within all of us. And so that turnover represents the justice in our faith. Monkey bread is the one I'm especially proud of. Monkey bread and generosity. Monkey bread is a, who here is familiar with it? Great, a few of us. It's multiple little pieces of rolls that you pull apart, are super sticky, and are really delicious and sweet, and so it is a shared dish. It's a shared baking dish that you can have with countless people, and you each take a part of it. You share it together, and for me, that represents generosity. It represents the possibility of abundance. If we all have access to this one thing that we can all share together and give to one another. And like Ed, sometimes I also have to look up what JETPIG stands for when it comes to our faith: justice, equity, transformation, pluralism, interdependence, and generosity. So I'm curious, is there a food that you think represents one of those values? You don't have to offer that right now, but I'm going to do the ever dangerous open mic sermon in a moment and see if anybody has a thought. But beyond these specific foods that we have that could potentially represent those values, there are practices that represent the nourishing capacity of our faith. The potlucks that we have in our congregations. I think you have one today. And for me, I think I saw it was a vegan one. And for me, that represents equity. That represents a way to create a meal that many can engage in and consume, and also represents a way that we are showing how we care for our earth, how we care for each other's dietary needs, and create spaces for all. When we have meal deliveries from communities that are helping someone recovering from surgery, helping somebody who is dealing with a death, helping somebody who is struggling with any particular moment of their lives. When we are creating those meal delivery, meal trains, those GoFundMes, that for me is a nourishing practice of our generosity, of our interdependence, of our love. And coffee hour. Coffee hour, the ever-present ritual of Unitarian Universalist churches and congregations, is both literally and figuratively warming, especially if you hold it outside in the San Francisco Bay Area. It is a place where we can come together and transform our physical beings with caffeination and community. Those are just some of those examples, all of those rooted and that love that is at the center of our faith. Now, I've been talking at you, but does anybody have a food that they want to shout? All right, what you got? Romanian stuffed cabbage. And what does that represent? The binding of the rice from parts of the world, the cabbage that collectively gathers everything, the soupy texture of the warmth, the connection growing up. And you don't have to. So the warmth and the connection that comes from that growing up, and you don't have to be Romanian to enjoy it. I love that. I think that comes in with a little bit of pluralism there, too. Yeah. Yes, yes, it does. All right, hand back there. Your husband is Romanian. Oh, beautiful. Hot Chinese hot pot. Yeah. So hot Chinese, hot pot, thank you, Ed. I'm trying to do the repeat back, but that's probably more effective. And having that around New Year's, where everybody can gather around the table and share. We'll take one more if there's a hand. All right, we got a couple.
I see a soup stew theme, I'm going for lentil soup. It's vegetarian and it mixes different ingredients and blends them all together into a super tasty combination.
Mm. Thank you. The soup stew theme would really throw my child right now. Yeah. All right, I think Karen had one hand, and then I'm using a point of personal privilege because I know Karen.
Well, I was going to mention lentil soup too. Because that's one of the soups that we often make for our guests at our annual auction soup supper, which we had recently. Although this time we serve pea soup.
I think that counts towards pluralism. All right, we've got so many hands coming up, so we're gonna call it at these last two, because I do actually have some other things I could say.
Okay. It's on. All right. So any yeast bread for transformation.
Yes.
Because it's a lump of the gooey stuff that turns into something that grows.
I love that. Yes. I was hoping someone would bring in yeast or sourdough or something for transformation. There was a hand all the way back there in the gray.
I was thinking red beans and rice for interdependence, because you can't make complex carbohydrates without the rice and the beans. You need both.
I love that. Yes. Oh, that's so good. So what I'm going to encourage, since none of us did our homework assignment, is to have those conversations today at coffee hour, to think about what are the recipes that represent your community's embodiment of these values that nourish, that sustain how you move in this world. What is the food that you would offer to someone and say, eat, let me sustain you, let me nurture you? And we know that those stories exist in our lives already, as some have shared. I love crowdsourcing a sermon. It makes my job easier. But we know the stories, like the one we read today with our children, with Grandpa's soup. The more soup he made, the more generous he became, the tastier the soup was. One of my favorite stories comes from the Christian New Testament, with the stories of the loaves and fishes, where they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, or 6 fishes, I can't remember the exact numbers. And Jesus and his disciples had the small amount of food surrounded by 5,000 people. And when it came time for dinner, the disciples said, send them home, we don't have food for them. And Jesus said, break up what we have and distribute it amongst the people. And at the end of that meal, they had 12 baskets of food left over. For me, that is such a huge representation of, frankly, everything, every single value we have within our faith. Because in that moment, Jesus encouraged his disciples to lean into trusting the community and the generosity that they have, and and their interdependence. The fact that these folks did not travel from miles away without snacks. So he knew that there was going to be food amongst the people. What we heard today from our comrades at the Onyx community was transformation to me, what I heard in that story. Transforming not only an individual's experience, but our collective circumstances by providing food, by providing services and support for one another. That is transformation. And we all know what's happening in Minnesota right now. We are seeing those big, big stories in the news, the heartbreaking stories in the news, the ones that had me crying on the drive here. We see the coverage of what's going on in Minneapolis and Minnesota. We see the resistance. We see the oppression. We see the resistance again to the oppression. But what isn't caramelized or televised is the actual revolution underneath. There are people doing hard, hard work in their communities. They are showing up day after day after day, feeding people, providing community care, providing childcare, blowing the whistles on the street corners day after day after day. We don't see those stories. We don't see the ways in which the individuals come together in their communities, on their corners, and say, eat. Let me sustain you. Let me nurture you. What is underneath all of the stories we are seeing broadcasted, the murders we have seen on our phones, is community care that is allowing people to show up still, day after day after day. There is a growing web of solidarity, of community, of nourishment, of care, of people resisting the ways in which our government is telling us we have to be and creating new ways that we know we can be. Last night in Minneapolis, and I don't know if it happened here too, people stood on almost every single street corner with candles to show that they were there, that they were there for each other, that we are stronger than what is being pushed onto us. In her reflection on what she witnessed in Minneapolis, the Hindu organizer and activist Sunita Viswanath said, at the convergence, a recent convergence that people of faith all arrived at this week, one speaker insisted she wasn't an activist. She was simply a neighbor, worried about an immigrant family across the street. That concern helped create a mutual aid network. One of many in Minneapolis. Participants donate money and resources so that people in need can pay rent, buy groceries, get access to health care. She said $300,000 had already passed through her network. If someone gives, take it. If someone needs, give it. If you have space, share it. You don't have to be an activist to create active love. What we are witnessing in Minneapolis is not the only place where we know that this untelevised revolution is happening. I imagine there are places here in Palo Alto it is. I imagine there are places where those networks are existing, where people are showing up and giving that care, giving that food, giving that hospitality, that resilience of, I will show up if they show up. In San Francisco, we just recently had our own solidarity actions where we showed up for one of our own, Guillermo, who had been through it. And we weren't sure if he was going to be detained at his hearing 2 days ago. And when I say we were overjoyed to be able to sing, my liberation is your liberation, and your liberation is my liberation. So let me hear the people say, let's get free, let's get free, let's get free. To be able to sing that for Guillermo when he walked out the doors that evening. For him to know that he was held in community. That is the untelevised revolution that we are building together. And so when we're thinking about the foods that we use to sustain us, the foods that we use to nourish and nurture us, how do we share them with each other in ways that remind us you are not alone? That I have the love and the anger and the passion and the grief and the joy and the hope that we will get through this together. What are the foods that you share with each other, that you can share with each other, that you share with your neighbors on the corner to say that you are there to sustain them, you are there to nurture them, and that they share with you to say that they are there to sustain you, that they are there to nurture you. We had hoped in this moment for a Side with Love to offer a call to congregations to not have business as usual today. For those of us that have services in our congregations, to go out in the streets, go and sing, go and say, there will no longer be sanctuary in our, we will not stay in our sanctuaries until there is sanctuary in the streets. As you can imagine, we are a little bit busy and weren't able to put that call out today. But I encourage you, if you can't sing that song today together, to show that same spirit to your community. That we will not stay siloed in our sanctuaries until there is sanctuary in the streets. That we will not stay separate from our communities because we need each other. That red beans and rice, that Romanian cabbage, that hot pot, that lentil soup. We need each other. And we can feed each other day after day after day. So to close, I'm just going to invite us to sing that song that we sang to Guillermo that day. I'll say the words again, and you can repeat them back, and we'll sing it together a few times. Your liberation is my liberation. And my liberation is your liberation.
And my liberation is your liberation.
So let me hear the people say,
so let me hear the people say,
let's get free, let's get free, let's get free. All right, I'm going to start singing it, and then you join in, and then I'm going to back away from the mic so y'all can hear yourselves. Your liberation is my liberation, and my liberation is your liberation. So let me hear the people say, let's get free, let's get free, let's get free. Your liberation is my liberation, and my liberation is your liberation. So let me hear the people say, let's get free, let's get free. Let's go. Your liberation is my liberation, and my liberation is your liberation. So let me hear the people say, let's get free, let's get free. Sing it again.
Your liberation is my liberation, and my liberation is your liberation. So let me hear the people say, let's get free.
Turn to someone next to you and sing it to them.
Your liberation is my liberation, and my liberation is your liberation. So let me hear the people say, let's get free. Let's get
one more time as loud as you can.
Your liberation is my liberation, and my liberation is your liberation. So let me hear the people say,
we're going to do it again because you got louder and I know you can get even louder. Let's go.
Your liberation is my liberation, and my liberation is your liberation. So let me hear the people say, let's
one more time so they hear you across the streets.
Your liberation is my liberation, and my liberation is your liberation. So let me hear the people say, let's get free.
One more time.
Your liberation is my liberation, and my liberation is your liberation. So let me hear the people say, let's get
free. Let's get free.
Let's get free. Let's get free. Let's get free.
Whether you're in Minneapolis as part of the mutual aid networks, whether you are here providing food for people on Christmas Day so that they know they are seen and loved, whether you are creating the coffee for coffee hour, know that you are sustaining and nurturing the world that is to come. The world centered on love. The world that we are all called to create.